Now, we know that God is always moving, and I've watched the way God has worked with this church to shape us. He has a plan for us if we would just follow his plan. So this morning, we are going to hear from one of our ministers who has come with a love for the Lord, love to study. And because of the way the world is today, we need more ministers, not less ministers. Yeah. Won't you join me as we receive the one who's going to break the bread of life for us today? We'll now come in her own way, Reverend Mariama Smith, if you're able to stand. Amen. We stand as a sure respect for what the Lord is doing. Amen?
Amen.
Reverend Smith.
May we get you some water now?
I think I'm okay, Pastor.
Okay.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah, church. Praise the Lord. He's good and he's able if you'll turn with me to Hebrews.
Amen.
You know, God is just mighty and always working. And one thing I can say about me is that I'm obedient.
Amen, Reverend.
Sometimes I'm not fast or quickly obedient. But my parents did a good job of helping me. That's what I tell my son. Do you need help? Helping me to be obedient.
Amen.
And my pastor asked us, he gave us some instructions, and because I'm obedient, I'm following them.
Amen.
And then the little that I did write down, it just disappeared, and that's all right. Amen?
All right.
Amen. God is good. So we are looking at Hebrews 11. We're going to likely look at a few other things, but I'm going to read for you right now. Hebrews 11, 1 through 6.
Okay.
And we may likely go through most of that chapter.
Mm-hmm.
But Hebrews 11, beginning with verse 1. And I don't have my glasses, praise God. Now, faith is a, excuse me, I apologize. We're going to begin, we're going to go up about three verses to 10:37, just up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Verse 37. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him, excuse me. But we are not of them who draw back from perdition, but of them who that believe to the saving of the soul. First one in chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it he, being dead, yet speaketh. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him.
Mm-hmm.
For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And verse 6. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Amen?
Amen.
You are welcome to be seated.
Amen, amen.
We are going to look at Job, verse 1, 20 and 22. Likely we will look at Matthew 17, 20. We will look at Mark 4:20. I don't want to rattle off verses and you have no idea what they are as we're going, so I'm just giving you the references now. But I just want to take a moment to do a little bit of housekeeping. Father God, I come to you right now, God, in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior, God. And Father, I ask that you just wipe me away right now, God. Fill me up with your Spirit, God, and allow me to deliver the word that you've given, God. This seed that you've planted deep within my being, God, allow it to flourish right now in the name of Jesus, that your people be edified in the name of Jesus. Reveal yourself to us, God, in the name of Jesus. Have your way with me right now, God. I give myself up to you in the name of Jesus. Have your way, God. Lord, just have your way with me, God. Speak to your people, God. I thank you for your ministry, God. I thank you for who you are, God. I magnify your name, God, because you're holy and you're righteous, God. Lord, I lift myself up to you, God, right now, and I ask you, God, my desire right now, God, is that you speak through me, God. I ask in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 I just want to thank my pastor. He's been so good to me. Amen. I just have to acknowledge him, and there's a little bit more. My sister's birthday is today. She will watch at some point. Happy birthday. My mother's childhood friend, Shirley Taylor, is being funeralized tomorrow in Washington, D.C., our family home, and I lift her up and her children, Roxanne, Darshan, and Anthony, in the name of Jesus, my Aunt Shirley Dickerson. Amen. Because the Lord is my shepherd, I have everything I need. He lets me rest in the meadow's grass, and he leads me beside the quiet stream. He restores my failing health, and he helps me to do what honors him the most. That's why I'm safe. That's why I'm safe. That's why I'm safe. I'm safe. I'm safe in his arms when the storm, when the storms of life are raging, and the billows, they begin to roll. I'm so glad he shall hide me. I'm so glad he shall hide me safe in his arms. Hallelujah, God. Amen. Hallelujah, amen. God. Amen. Hallelujah, God.
Amen. Good job.
Our title today is that mustard seed enough? And our points of reference are Job faith. Amen. Job faith. Two, that little mustard seed, is it enough? And finally, to let go. Now, we've heard the story of Job over and over again. But the part that just rings out to me is that after all of his servants came to him one by one and said to him what had been lost, what we would think as men was the source of his wealth,
yes,
that each of them had been lost, and then that final message, Master, your children are dead.
Yes.
Uh-huh. And Job rent his clothing,
mm-hmm,
shaved his head,
yes,
and fell on his face and worshiped.
Mm-hmm.
In the midst of all of it, his faith, he worshiped. That when the enemy, when Satan is doing his best work, sowing all the chaos he can in your life, all the confusion he can in your life, convincing you that this smokescreen that he's put before you, that all that you'd have has been taken away from you, that everything you desire is in danger, mm-hmm. that Job would worship. Mm-hmm. At the beginning of this year, when we were at the intercessory prayer service, and Reverend Leapheart asked, "What do you want?" And I said, "I want to be a beacon. I want to have Job faith this year. I want to have Job faith. I want to have that faith that when everything looks like it's falling apart, that I'll rip everything in this world away, that I'll rent my clothing, I'll rent everything, every earthly possession, and just bless and praise his name.
Amen.
Call on the name of the Lord because he's able, because he's willing, because he loves me.
Yes.
Amen? Because I know that he is the source of all things for me." So if you look at Job 1, you don't have to turn there, but it's verse 20. "Then Job arose and rent his mantle and shaved his head and fell down upon the ground and worshiped and said, 'Naked I came out of my mother's womb, and naked I return thither. The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord.' In all of this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly." And what I want to suggest to you right now is a mustard seed enough? Church folks talk about all you need is a mustard seed of faith. I had a sister give me a t-shirt, and I had it on this past week. Something about, "Look at me, that's that mustard seed." Uh-uh. Is a mustard seed enough? Is it going to take you where God intends for you to go? Is a mustard seed enough to sustain you through all the things that the enemy will throw at you? Is a mustard seed enough? I ask you, when we look at Job's actions here, and we know he was a man after God's own heart, was he carrying around a mustard seed? Why would we even begin to think that a mustard seed is enough? Mm-hmm. Now, I'll tell you, if in your big bag you've got just a mustard seed in there, you would not be able to find it. You couldn't reach your hand down it and grab it, because it's the smallest seed. According to Christ's word, it's the smallest seed of any seed.
Yeah.
So let's look at how we got to this idea of just a mustard seed. It's Matthew 17. 20. I praise God. And here Christ is actually rebuking his disciples. He's actually chastising them because someone has come to them, and Christ has been going about in his ministry, and the multitude and the crowds are following him because he's famous, and people are being healed, and they're seeing miracles, and things are happening. And even the disciples have been able to reach out and touch people and have outstanding, miraculous things happen through God. And someone comes and says, "Will you heal my son? He's a lunatic. The enemy has control of him. Will you heal him?" And the disciples tried to work, and nothing happened. So they come back to Christ. And he says, you're faithless. You fools. You can't do it without me. And he said, if you just had a mustard seed, you'd be able to move a full mountain out of your way. Everything would work according to your faith. But I'm not going to take a rebuke and make it the rule of my life and say all I need is a mustard seed. Amen?
Amen.
So he says, and Jesus said unto them, that's verse 20, "Because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you.
Mm-hmm.
Howbeit this kind goeth out but by prayer and fasting."
Mm-hmm.
So when his disciples are with him and following him faithfully, they want to do a work in his name, but they don't believe in him.
Okay.
Is that mustard seed enough?
Yeah.
You know, if you are in the walls of this church right now, and you're seeking to be filled up for the week that's coming, is that mustard seed enough? If you walk out of here with the mustard seed, you will be distracted. You will wonder why it's not working.
Mm-hmm.
a mustard seed. Is that mustard seed enough? Mm-hmm. Now, Christ here is saying to them, it's not working because you don't even have the smallest, infinitesimal, littlest amount of faith. You know, my first case in criminal court, and when I went to law school, I said, I want to be a prosecutor. I want to prosecute. I want to be a prosecutor of crime so I can learn what they're doing to my people, what things they're using so I can help change the system.
Yeah.
And y'all might not know me well, but I'm a little soft, a little naive. And I didn't even get through my first year of law school and my first couple of meetings with that club that I said, that's not for me. I can't stomach it. I'm going home crying just from testimonials, you know, and discussions. So I don't think I can be a prosecutor. But lo and behold, my first case was in the magistrate's court of North Charleston. We're from Charleston, South Carolina. And I was representing a young man who had just graduated from high school. And he had been arrested for having, I think, what they called a fourth of a gram of marijuana. And I already told y'all I'm naive, and y'all know I was raised in church, so I didn't know what a fourth of a gram of marijuana was. The prosecutor was my classmate. And so I've done all this stuff, and we're ready to go. And the officer was not willing to work with us, and I get before the court, and I ask for us to move forward, that we'd like to go to trial. And I've already spoken with Joseph, and when Joseph pulled me to the side and tell me what's going on, I said, well, they said he had a fourth of a gram of weed. He said, girl, I'm going to dismiss it. I said, really? Why? He said, you can't even see a fourth of a gram of marijuana. I said, really? They said it was inside of you can't even see it. So what the officer had done was smelt into this medicine bottle, right? And he said, the least amount that I can put in here is a fourth of a gram. But Miss Unknown thought that he had actual marijuana. So the officer wrote down a fourth of a gram of marijuana, but he couldn't see it. He could just smell it. But he's got him charged. Young man graduated valedictorian of his class.
Amen.
Had tuition but did not have room and board till he was not in school.
Amen.
And so he's been picked up for walking on the wrong side of the road,
yeah,
which is not a law.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And he's charged with being in possession of an amount of marijuana you can't see.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You can only smell.
Yeah.
Now that's enough for this society to put you away.
Yeah.
To drag you before a judge.
Yeah.
But I ask you right now, those charges were dropped. They went away. Right? Nothing happened with it. It was gone. I suggest to you, if you're dependent on just a mustard seed,
yeah,
it will waste away. You won't have any access to it.
Yeah.
Your faith will dwindle. That seed will exist, but your faith, mm-hmm, will not be enough to carry you through anything that the enemy brings to you. If you worry, check on your faith level. If you're scared, check on your faith level.
Yeah.
If you are involving all the different distractions of the world in your life, check your faith level. If you got to run to mama for help, check your faith level.
Yeah.
If you got to run to daddy for help, check your faith level. Because God said, I need to be in the midst of your life. It is my desire that you desire me fully and wholly, but I be in the midst of your life. That means right up in the everything. You can't move from one point to the other without passing by. You can't move to anything without my spirit just moving through you, without me touching you. But you can't do that with the mustard seed. So will you survive? Likely, because the word of my God says if you have just a mustard seed of faith,
yeah,
you could do some work. If you just believe in me the slightest,
yeah,
right, I will work in your favor.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something. I don't want God working in my favor when I'm at the bottom of the gully.
Yeah.
I want God working in my favor when I'm at the top of the mountain.
Yeah.
I want to know where all of my good comes from.
Yeah.
Those of us that are depending on this little tiny amount of faith,
yeah,
we turn to alcohol. We turn to football.
Yeah.
We turn to how fast does my car drive?
Yeah.
We turn to how much is my salary? We turn to sex.
Yeah.
We turn to clubs at night.
Yeah.
We turn to questioning whether or not people love us. We turn to everything that the enemy will use to draw you down into nothing.
Yeah.
A mustard seed, I ask you, is it enough? Now, people will point to this and say all you need is a mustard seed. But if you go to Mark 4, and I believe it's the 20th. I'm sorry, it's the 30th. Where Christ gives the parable of the mustard seed. So again, Christ is talking about a mustard seed. And it says, and he said, whereunto shall ye liken the kingdom of God? Mm-hmm. What are you going to compare the kingdom of God to? What do you understand about it? How would you describe it? Or with what comparison shall we compare it? It is like a grain of mustard seed, which when it is grown in the earth is less than all the seeds that be in the earth. But when it is sown, it groweth up and becometh greater than all the herbs that shooteth out great branches, so that the fowls of the air may lodge under the shadow of it. So that mustard seed is important.
Yeah.
But you don't just carry it around and say, this is the evidence of my faith.
Yeah.
You don't walk around and say, when the world is coming against me, let me depend on that mustard seed.
Yeah.
The word says that you can compare the kingdom to a mustard seed. And once it is sown, and I want you to know something. When you plant something, it's a living organism, but it will remain dormant unless you care for it.
Amen.
You must water it.
Amen.
You must weed it.
Amen.
You must prune it back. You must keep watering it. You must keep weeding it. You must keep pruning it back. Because if you don't prune something back, it's going to begin to be stalled in its growth. It will stop moving. It'll begin withering away. We were watching something on TV about taking care of plants when the TV's on for no reason at all. And the man said, if you prune something and then don't keep taking care of it, it'll start to rot from within. It will rot down to its root from within. So when you sow it, you must care for it. But I believe that just as the kingdom of God can be likened to a mustard seed that when it's planted, when it's sown, it will grow into all the things that you need to offer you shade. And if you just take the dots back to Psalms 91, he shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. The same thing, the birds can come and be under his shadow and be safe from everything that would rain down upon them to cause them agony, chaos, frustration, etc. So I believe that if you will sow your faith, if you'll sow that mustard seed and you take care of it daily, if you take care of it weekly, if you don't depend on it being this little tiny thing and you allow it to grow and branch off into your life, that God will be more ever present with you.
Yeah.
He's always there. He never leaves you. The question is, are you aware of his presence? Because he's always here. There's never a time that he leaves you alone. In the moments when it seems like nothing is working out, but you managed to make it to work, that was God. In the moments when it seems like there's nothing in the bank, my pockets are empty, but you still managed to eat, that wasn't you. That was God. When you seem like I'm all by myself, he says, I never leave you alone.
Yeah.
I was sitting in my car one day, feeling devastated, and I said, God, why aren't you here? Why can't I hear you? And he said, look up. And I looked up at the palm tree. Like I said, we're from Charleston. I looked up at the palm tree, and the wind was going through the leaves, and he said, that's me. I'm always here. I'm always here. You're never alone. But there was so much chaos in my mind.
Yeah.
There was so much running through worry. Well, what if I don't make it on time? Well, what if when I get back? Well, who? Well, when my mother doesn't, if I'm not there when she calls? Well, what if, well, when my dad, well, if I, who, how do I, when? That's the lack of faith. He said, just look up.
Yeah.
You see that? That's me.
Yeah.
Because I'm calling and crying out to him, but I'm feeling like I'm getting no answer. Why? Because the enemy's chaos is running through my brain.
Yeah.
The enemy's chaos is running all about me. But when it gets in here and it's larger than my faith.
Yeah.
If I've just got that mustard seed banging around in my bag, that when I open it up just like that fourth of a gram and I look in there, I don't see anything.
Yeah.
When I reach down and say, God, help me, be with me, I don't have anything to grab onto. Yeah. Because I'm depending on a rebuke. Christ said, if you would just have the smallest amount of faith in me.
Yeah.
I'm telling people, if you just have a mustard seed of faith, you can do all things. That's a lie. It was a rebuke.
Yeah.
But then he comes back in his parables when he's teaching the multitude, and he's given these parables that the people may not understand unless they have faith. And the disciples won't understand unless they have faith, that if you have this mustard seed, you can compare the kingdom of my Father to it. Yeah. And if it's sown, it will become everything you need.
Yeah.
A tree will shade you. A tree will feed you.
Yeah.
A tree will house you. But I'm guaranteeing if that faith is not sown in your life, and if you're not caring for it and taking care of it, you won't have what you need to have that Job faith in the name of Jesus.
Yeah.
Because Job was able to say, I came in this world with nothing.
Yeah.
And God loved me still.
Yeah.
And when I leave this earth with nothing, yeah, I'll be going to my Father.
Uh-huh.
Because he loves me. All these earthly possessions mean nothing. And that's where we're getting to let go.
Yeah.
I want faith that when the world seems to be coming to an end, or it doesn't have to be coming to the end, the smallest thing. When we're having the women's fellowship on Friday, our first one, and nobody's answering their phone.
Yeah.
When we have the women's fellowship and people have responsibilities on bringing food and nobody's responding to my text messages.
Yeah.
When we have the women's fellowship and it seems like everything is on my shoulders and my husband says, oh, I'm going to play golf today. I'm a be gone.
Yeah.
What? Uh-huh. What I want to do right then is I want to rip away everything of this world.
Yeah.
I want to rip away every concern. I want to rip away everything that seems to be distracting me from my Father, from my Savior, and I just want to take it to him.
Yeah.
And I can tell you in faith that's what I did.
Yeah.
And I prayed. Each time it came up, I said, oh, no, Satan, you have no control here. And I took it to my Father, and I just trusted. And then when it really seemed bad, it was bad. When the person called me back, she didn't have what she said she was going to have. Oh, I forgot, right? So I prayed. And my phone rang, and it was my husband. Hey, babe, I'm on my way back. Is there anything you need?
Yeah.
Anything
yeah.
you need?
Yeah.
So God will allow his people to be in the gap for me.
Yeah.
But what if I had lost it and been upset?
Yeah.
People weren't calling me because they had things going on.
Yeah.
When we all got here that evening, we were able to attest to the trials that we had each been through in our preparation for this first time that we're getting together for the year for our fellowship. But the enemy was busy stirring the pot. That mustard seed is not going to get you through.
Yeah.
So can you rip that job away from your heart?
Yeah.
And say, I am God's and that job is not me?
Yeah.
And when that job doesn't seem to be working right, I have him. And when that job is going great, I have him. He's the source. Can you rip away that love you have?
Yeah.
For your children that you have allowed yourself to stand upon and get rooted in. Can you rip it away like Job did? Well, my mother was the first time she had the stroke. She lived for 10 years after that. But I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I was playing Bible roulette. Just give me a word. Okay, I'll try again. Give me a word. Give me a word. And there was nothing. And God said, you're just going to have to trust me.
Yeah.
I'm not going to tell you what I'm going to do. You're just going to have to trust me. And I said, nope, he don't mean that. Let me try again. And there wasn't a scripture that could speak to the pain that I was feeling because they had called and said, we're calling for next of kin because she's out of here. We have her on life support because you're in California and she's in D.C. and you're her only child and we want you to be here when we take her off.
Yeah.
When I get there and the doctor says to me, you should start making final arrangements. Lord, I can't live without my mother.
Yeah.
See, my faith was rooted through my mother. I'm sure it trailed somewhere off to God, but I had sown my seed in my mother.
Yeah.
I could not imagine breathing without her. I spent the months of that the beginning of her being in rehab constantly crying.
Yeah.
I'd be in meetings talking, tears rolling. That's how the connection between parents. My son starts crying when I'm ready to cry.
Yeah.
Tears just rolling. My staff stopped being concerned because they said, that's just where she is right now. But my seed was sown in my mother.
Yeah.
My faith was sown into my mother and not where it should be. So I couldn't imagine breathing. How could I exist without her? And God's desire is that I say, how could I exist without you, Father? How could I exist without you, Christ? Where would I be? Can you rip it all away? All those things where you've implanted your love, can you rip them away? Are you capable of letting them go? Can you be like Job and say, I fall on my face, I let go of every earthly possession, I let go of every earthly desire, and I worship you, God, because I am yours, because you are mine. I came into this world with you, and I'm going to leave this world with you. Can you rip it all away?
Yeah.
It is my prayer for you
that
you are encouraged. It is my prayer for you that you understand what a mustard seed is and what its capabilities are and what you must do with it to have the faith you need to run this Christian journey. Because you can keep coming back to the well and trying to figure out and looking for your mustard seed, or you can sow it and live in his pleasure and delight. I love you, church, but God loves you best.
Thank you for listening to a recent sermon from Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church. We pray that you have been blessed by the preaching of God's Word. Pilgrim Branch Missionary Baptist Church is located at 16813 Huff Smith Corville Road, Houston, Texas, 77070. Our Sunday worship services are held at 8 o'clock a.m. and 11 o'clock a.m. with Wednesday night Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. Please come out and join us for worship, study, and fellowship, where our motto is, we are the branch, but he is the vine.